Welcome to a very special episode of the Autism Everyday Podcast. We are your hosts, Swati
and Geeta. Welcome back. So this is our first episode after the release of the book, A World of Difference. Written by us, by the way.
I can't believe we wrote a book.
Yes, and we are so overwhelmed and grateful for the response from everyone in the community. It means so much to us that what we have to say is reaching people and helping families change the way they deal with their kids on the autism spectrum.
Agreed. So before we go any further, let's talk a little bit about who we are and what we do. So if you've already heard this before, feel free to like skip and go forward. Geeta and I run WeCan, an ABA-based school and early intervention center in Chennai. We're also the co-founders of ProAct, a counseling clinic based on the principles of acceptance and commitment therapy, which is exclusively run by BCBAs trained in ACT. And more recently, Geeta and I published a book on autism, but we'll talk about that through today's episode. We're also crazy about all things autism, child development, and passionate about positive parenting.
That we are. Okay, so in today's episode, like Swati said, we're going to, you know, go into a little bit of a journey of the creation of the book, A World of Difference. And really the why of what we do.
Yay. Yeah, for me, I think looking back, for as long as I can remember, I knew writing was the go-to medium, you know. And books are and always have been a constant source of inspiration. Those aha moments and sometimes a place you probably seek a little bit of comfort in.
Yeah, that I agree with.
Yeah. And I think it was possibly somewhere in 2017 or early 2018 that the idea sort of cropped up in our minds. I remember a very long flight on which we were discussing, book writing. But I think somewhere in the midst of like attending courses and certification, visiting centers overseas and presenting at some conferences, a thought occurred that a whole lot of practices that actually work and, you know, have good results, are well published, they need to be spoken about in India.
Yeah.
But that being said, they may need slight cultural modifications to sort of fit into the Indian scheme of things, right?
Yeah. And I never, unlike you, thought that I wanted to write or that I would write. It was never part of my plan. But then many things were not planned. So for me, every time we went into one of those conferences or entered their bookstores or even looked up, you know, the books that we had to buy for our various courses, it was a sadness that India is so unrepresented when there's actually so much of potential. Yes, and also that we need to have literature that meshes the best of science with our cultural context. Let's face it, our cultural and social environment is so, so different, right? And every time we spoke to family about autism, what it means for the child, what it means for the family itself, what interventions are standard, which ones are evidence-based. So this constant feeling that, hey, didn't I say these exact same things last week, the month before, and maybe even 15 years back, right? So the concerns, the questions, the fears, the expectations were the same across the years, across every family we had spoken to. And when you speak to the family, there's only so much information you can give them at one go.
True.
It's like overkill, right?
True.
They're not processing after a point. One, they're dealing with the diagnosis. Two, they're dealing with the complete set of unknown, you know, the whole thing is walking into a black hole, really.
Yeah.
Right? And there's only so much that they can chew on and assimilate at one point.
True.
So I think that was another reason that we thought a book would be a great way to answer all these questions and concerns and that would give the parents an opportunity to read it at a pace suitable for them, you know, switch chapters, read here, read there, whatever is more relevant for them at that point. And at least would be a starting point to put at rest their first set of concerns.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Of even beginning to understand autism and what it may be doing for their child.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, like you said, a book would be a great way to answer all those questions. And somewhere in 2019, when we were in Dublin and we met with a publisher and had a chat, I think that's where the whole thing sort of started coming together, right? We knew that our country needs more evidence-based books on the subject on autism. And a parent in India doesn't, I mean, shouldn't have to buy a book written in a culture that is alien to them.
Yes.
Right? Like the Western setting or the Western culture. But they do deserve the same evidence-based practices.
Yes.
Just sort of modified to suit their own culture.
Yes, absolutely.
So I think come 2020, the pandemic just forced all of us to stay indoors. And the first thing we did is, you know, put pen to paper, or, well, actually thoughts to laptop, but you get the drift.
You know, I'm not sure whether we did it that fast. We did spend a lot of time in our minds.
Oh, we did. Right? That we did.
In our minds. We spent a month or two talking about it.
Yeah. Oh,
we must write a book. Yeah, we must write a book. Talking about writing, not actually writing anything. Of course, the excuses were plenty. Things like questions like, what do we say first? What should the tone of the book be? Should it be formal? Should it be like a textbook?
Yeah.
And we read some fantastic textbooks, right?
Yeah.
Should it be conversational? Should it be casual? What about the flow? I mean, what, where do we begin, and what should the transitions be like? In other words, every conceivable reason to avoid the actual task of starting to write. And the honest truth is, we did not know where to start.
Yeah.
And it's easy to sit and hypothesize about it for the longest time, right? It was a strange situation, want to but don't want to kind of situation. But eventually we did start.
Yeah.
And once we started writing, we kind of warmed up to the idea. And then there were like many thoughts, and it was starting to take shape. Yet I think one of the things that we struggled with was consistency.
It is super hard to sit down every single day and write, and it's not even, so you're not just it's not like writing data, which is which is easy. This is sort of putting together in a very creative way all the data that you've collected.
Yes,
you know.
Yes. But putting it in a format that is not technical, is conversational, and yet it is conveying the depth of what we are trying to say.
Yeah. Right?
So there were weeks on end when we actually did not write a single word.
Yeah.
Down went consistency. And this is when we let, you know, our day-to-day sessions, podcasts, and every other thing that we had to do take over our time. There was often this doubt about what to write next and how to keep transitions between topics seamless. And then, of course, there were two of us writing.
Yes.
And the editor did caution us to watch out for what may be different tones of writing, different sentence structures, different ways of saying things. And, you know, she did warn us that, you know, you don't want to be writing the same chapter, because suddenly the language will begin to sound a little different. Right. And so she suggested we write different chapters to avoid this complete mishmash of writing styles.
Oh, yeah. I remember one of those conversations. Yeah. She was like, nope, you cannot write the same chapter. Yeah. No, so writing was really hard, and I'm not going to lie, like, we had a bunch of ideas, we still do, and some of them haven't been put together yet. Hint, hint, another book?
Love, hate.
But somewhere we decided to begin with a handbook of sorts for parents and families to really understand what a diagnosis of autism means and what the journey ahead can look like. And we also sort of wanted it to be a handy tool, so no parent feels like they don't know what to do. You know, you just go out there, you grab a copy of the book, you read it, you reread it maybe, and you get some of your questions answered. So it's really a starting point, and you build on that ABA-based foundation and parent your child in a rewarding and a fulfilling way.
And in a very scientific, evidence-based way.
You said it.
I think it's, to put it another way, this book will actually help you with all of those questions that pop into your head. But even your doctor can only do so much. Because, mm-hmm. again, how much can you assimilate at one point? And how much can they tell you? It is a process of beginning to understand autism. It is a process of beginning to understand your child. It's a process of accepting that your child has this.
Yeah.
And so it's going to take some, like Swati said, reading. And rereading. And finally, it's like we wrote the book.
Mm.
We thought, and put it together. And starting to work with your child or starting to accept the diagnosis is often like that.
That's true. Right?
So today we'll go over some of the key takeaways in chapter one. And talk a little bit about why those are relevant and call for a discussion.
So in chapter one, I think towards the end of chapter one, we sort of summed up some key takeaways, and we'll just mention a couple of them, not all of them. You can get the book and, you know, go through all of them and really soak it in. But for today, one of the things I want to bring up is the fact that you did not cause the autism. Your partner did not cause the autism. The food you ate didn't cause autism. The location, if you were, let's say, living in a commercial industrial town.
Highly polluted environment.
Exactly. Yeah. Highly polluted environment. That did not cause the autism. We don't know what caused autism. And the vaccine, the MMR vaccine, for sure did not cause your child's autism.
Yeah. Autism is lifelong. And during the different stages of life, it presents itself differently. It's a hard truth. And I remember my good friend and colleague talking about it when, eventually her son got a diagnosis of autism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 20 years back, there was even less information than we have today.
I'm sure.
Right?
Yeah.
22 years back.
There was no Google.
And we have spoken about this, the dial-up modem and whatever little bit of information there was. And she said, I read somewhere that autism is a lifelong disorder, and that it shattered her for a while.
Of course, right? Yeah.
But she said, I'm glad I learned about it then and did not delude myself into believing that it's something that would go away. So it's a hard truth. But yes, it is a lifelong disorder.
It's a very powerful truth, because if you actually own that truth and accept it, you can help your child in so many more ways.
Yes.
So the next takeaway I'm going to talk about is repetitive behaviors and restricted interests. Now, we all know that children on the spectrum develop various repetitive behaviors or restricted interests, and it can change with time. But the important thing here is to make sure you're not changing those behaviors just because they seem not okay to you, but to really zero on to the behaviors that are dangerous or can cause him harm or cause, you know, property destruction, and work on those as opposed to just saying, okay, he likes twirling something, or he likes, you know, flapping a magazine, or he likes doing something with his fingers, and I'm going to stop that.
Yeah.
You know, because those behaviors are not harmful.
Yeah.
Of course, they might stick out in a social situation, but, you know, those behaviors are akin to that child's leisure skills.
Yeah.
And leisure skills on the spectrum may not look like leisure skills that we know of,
mm-hmm.
you know. Mm. The child might not be painting. The child might not be, let's say, playing a video game. The child might not be, I don't know, making origami, right?
Yeah.
So to really understand that leisure skills may present differently, and, you know, as long as he's occupied and he's, you know, not hurting himself or hurting others, I think it's okay.
Yeah, I guess, and it's also important to not focus on things that, always worrying about things, oh, we need to change this, we need to change that, this behavior is not appropriate, but to focus on actually enabling the child.
Yeah.
Then some of these things automatically get taken care of.
Some of them just go away, absolutely. Yeah. Some stay.
Some stay.
And that's where you make a decision and say, okay, is this really harmful or can he just engage in this?
Yes.
It might just be okay.
Yeah. Evidence-based intervention can be transformative for your child.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Because it's so, so important that not only that the child receives intervention, but that the child receives the right kind of intervention. There is no one size fits all. Autism is not equal to this, this, this and the other. But it's about knowing that child, what the family is like, what do you want, what are the services that are available for you, and what do you think works best for you.
Yeah.
Always keep that in mind and make sure it's evidence-based.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so much out there.
There is. And you really want to be, you know, stay clear of that and just go down the evidence-based route. So the last one that we're going to talk about today is the takeaway that nobody can help your child more than you. You are his primary caregiver. You get 24 hours, you know, minus the hours he's asleep and, you know, minus the hours maybe he goes for intervention. You get the most amount of time with your child and you want to maximize that. There is so much potential for learning there. There's potential to, you know, give him opportunities to mend. You can create the right environment for him. There's so much you can do with your child.
Yeah.
So really his numero uno therapist is you.
Yeah. And you have such a great bonding already.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's no pairing. That's the most beautiful part. Because we spend like a good month and a half just pairing with a new child. You guys have that already.
Yeah.
Make use of it.
Make use of it. Absolutely. There's nobody better than you. I know many parents say, oh, all therapists say that. But, you know, my child never listens to me. Believe me. You guys are the best.
Oh, yeah.
And you got it.
You got this. All right. With that, we wrap up today's podcast. So as always, go check out all our super cool stuff on behaviorswag.com. And if you want to know about our evidence-based intervention, head over to wecanindia.org. And go give us a big thumbs up on Amazon, leave us a review and read our book, A World of Difference, The Ultimate Autism Handbook for Mindful Parenting. See you next time.
Stay safe.